Praise God. You know, I know that God kind of moves in different ways sometimes. And I don't know about you, but right now, I don't know. I hope I can pull this message off today because I'm preaching on the gates of hell. But I feel so loving right now. So I don't know what's going to happen here. We're going to see how it goes. But anyway, we're excited about what God's doing here. If you have a Bible today, you can open to Matthew 16 if you do it old school. Amen. Ain't nothing like the printed Bible. But the gates of hell is referenced in Scripture there around Matthew 16:18. Is kind of where we're going to be looking. But, you know, have you ever forgotten to do something? You know, sometimes when I get up here, I just wonder, hey, did I forget to do something? You know, did I, you know, turn everything on? And, you know, some things, you know, it's no big deal if you forget to do them. But on the other hand, you know, there are some very serious things that if we forget to do them, it could really cause a lot of trouble. And I think sometimes as Christians that, you know, we forget that we're at war right now. We're at war. And it's something that we got to keep our mind on. It's easy to get so caught up in the everyday things of life. You know, trying to shuffle the kids and, you know, going to work and all these different things that you are accountable for, that you have to take care of. And I think that we forget that we're stuck or have been put, however you want to look at it, right in the middle of a battle between good and evil. And that's what's going on around us. Now, I know that we win because he won, but we still need to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what God wants us to remember as we continue in our walk with the Lord. We don't really know exactly how long we're going to be here, do we? You know, by the looks of things, a lot of things are adding up, aren't they? You know, who would have thought just this coronavirus gizmo, 19, whatever it is. I don't hope they ain't a 20, praise God. But, you know, it just kind of, the way everything got shuffled around and the control of the government and all these things that's happening, and then just the last cold snap, how it put it the hit on certain states with the electricity and things. There's just so many things that we are overly dependent on that can really get us into some trouble. So that's why we need to make sure that we keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And I have the old pan theory. It's all going to pan out in the end. Amen? And I believe it is, but we need to make sure that we're fighting a good fight. Well, Matthew 16:18 is, I'm going to read a couple passages in this as we go through this message today. Matthew 16:18, it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, I always want to say hell, that's the old style, the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a good God and that you do love us, and we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that, Lord, no longer do we have to walk in fear, but we can walk in faith and power. Lord, I thank you. You say that the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. And Lord, we just want to tap into that authority today as we follow you in this journey through life. Lord, I just yield right now to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now just a little historical background as we kind of unpack this and kind of get it ready to go. This passage here was the first time in the Gospels, especially in the Scripture of the New Testament, that the word church was used. It was the first time that it was used. And what that word means, it, you know, we know it means an assembly, ecclesia or something like that. That's what the Greek word is. But also what it really means is called out. So we've been called out. I mean, and we have to kind of keep it in that perspective. God calls us out, builds us up, and then puts us back in the game. You know what I'm saying? That's really what he's doing. And here it says here that God has called us out and he wants us to see that the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, another word here, a couple words that we need to kind of focus on is Peter. We know Peter was kind of up and down sometimes, wasn't he? He was kind of all over the charts, kind of his personality. You know, he's pretty excitable about Jesus, then he'd make a mistake. Matter of fact, a little later on in this scripture, Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, so yeah, it's a, you know, he was everywhere, but, you know, God really said something good here. Peter said, you know, his name means stone, okay? His name means stone. And Jesus said here, and upon this rock, and that word there, rock, means bedrock. So Jesus was using a play of words here a little bit to want us to see that it's on this bedrock, this rock of revelation, is that we need to see. See, Jesus didn't build the church on a person naming Peter. He built it on the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we got to have that revelation. That's what we're going to look at today. So we are all stones, and we need to take our place on the bedrock of Christ in order to build his church. That's what he wants to do. We got to stay on that bedrock. Anybody that's been, you know, I had to put a water heater in yesterday, and I was down my, it's an old basement down there. It's not a big basement. But anyway, something had sagged a little bit. You know, has anybody ever had some problems with sagging in their life? You know, as you get older, a lot of stuff sags. But anyway, I went and bought a jack, and I had to crank that thing up, and I took her up, you know, a good quarter inch or half inch. Don't sound like much in this big world, but I'll tell you what, when you're lifting the house up, that's a little bit. You know, I lifted up that area and it made it so a door. But see, that old house, I mean, part of it's not built on a very good bedrock. Now, the new part is, but the old part wasn't. So that's why it's sagging. And see, what happens is a lot of times, if people don't have their foundation on solid rock, that's when things start to move and things start to get out of kilter in their life. And we need to kind of make sure that we don't allow that to happen. So the first point we're going to see here, I want to talk about the gates of hell. The gates of hell. And what that actually means in our life. Jesus gave us a promise here. And I love promises because Jesus always keeps his word. Always. But see, gates, when you see that in scripture, it's a symbol for authority. Okay? Because people back in the Old Testament, you know, they would sometimes sit at the gate and there they would judge people. And it's a place where authority was established. And what Jesus is wanting us to see here, that we do not need to fear hell or the devil or anything else, because he has given us authority over that. And we need to walk in that authority. Hades also means a place of death. I mean, after people died, you know, their soul and their spirit, if they were not right with God, they go there. It's a fact. That's the way it is. In the Old Testament, that's the way it was. There was a holding place back in the Old Testament where one place is where the good people who followed God and were obedient to him and trusted him through the animal sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? We went through that before in the last series on covenant. Well, then also there was a place of torment. And those people that were not right with the covenant, they would go there and wait. And they're waiting until final judgment day. And it's a place of torment. Okay? It's not that God doesn't love them. God loves everybody. But it's what we do with what we have. It's a choice that we make in life. Are we going to be people of the covenant? Are we going to follow Jesus Christ and do it his way? You know, a lot of times we try to do it our way. You know, there was a guy that sang a great song, "I did it my way." Well, if you do it your way, there's no way, man. It's not going to work. We have to do it God's way. And so he was saying here that you and I don't have to fear death. You know, death is one of those things that, you know, we have to deal with from time to time, especially if we have maybe a loved one pass away or maybe a friend and maybe you've been in there, involved in that process, you know, in their last few moments here on this earth. But we don't have to fear that. He's has taken the fear away when we put our trust over into him. And we can go, when we leave this life, I believe we leave with a smile on our face. I know that sounds kind of crazy. But as a Christian, the next life is better. That's the life, and we have it. Because, and the battle is real that you and I are facing down here. And like I said, sometimes we get distracted. You know, if you get distracted, that's when accidents happen, right? If you're driving, you know, if you get distracted, that's when, you know, things can happen. And see what happens, we get distracted in life. And it takes us off the focus that we have where we're seeing this battle that we're in down here right now between good and evil. And you know, I know that we win because he won. But nevertheless, you know, Satan still can inflict some problems into our life if we're not aware of that. And that's why we need to understand what it means to fight that good fight of faith. See, the good news is that there's more for us than against us. Many people believe, and I've shared this before, Book of Revelation says a dragon drugs a third of the stars down. Possibly maybe one third of the angels followed Satan in his rebellion. Bad move. You know, that's a bad choice. You know, I'm sure they're regretting it now. But that means two thirds of them stayed. You know, so really there's more for us than against us. We got to remember that. You know, and so there's more good angels than there are bad angels, because, you know, some people get all spooked out about the spirit realm and everything. Mainly we shouldn't do that, you know. It's just there, and we know that we're with Jesus Christ. And not only are there more good angels than bad angels, but hey, Jesus is more powerful than Satan. He's more powerful than Satan. So really, we have nothing. Now, we don't want to get all cocky. Have you ever made a mistake and shot your mouth off too much? I've done that. I hadn't been saved probably 3 months, maybe a little longer. I got saved in November and went to Bible school in January. You know, for me, Bible school was this, really discipleship. I didn't backslide in that month or two. But what I noticed in Bible school is that several people that looked like they were spiritual, you know what I'm saying? They were kind of, you know, maybe they was up leading worship or doing something to school. They'd come and give a big testimony how big their God is. Well, then all of a sudden they were gone. Gone. What happened to them? Well, somebody said, well, they backslid and they went back into this, and it's pretty gross sin. And here they were on fire one day and not the next. And then I got a little frustrated at that because I was on fire right now, and I said, okay, devil, mess with me. Don't do that. That's pride. And a haughty spirit comes before a fall, you know. So I learned something very valuable that day or that week. I'm not a fast learner, so it took me a few days to figure it out. I need to not do that. You know, I had to repent and get everything right, you know, and I know it's not me, it's God, you know, it's his work working through me. I had to come back to that revelation, but I learned a very valuable lesson. I cannot beat Satan on my own, but when Christ lives through me, I have nothing to fear. There is no fear. No matter what the enemy brings against me, I have victory through Jesus Christ. And we can count on that as being there in our life. Now, what happens is the problem. See, we have all these benefits, shall we say, where, you know, we have more good angels than bad angels. We have Jesus beats the devil, so we're on the winning team. It's a no lose situation for us, right? You can't lose as long as you stay in the game. You can't lose. But what happens though? Is we have a problem, especially in our culture, spiritual malnutrition. You wouldn't think so. I mean, you get Bible and all kinds of translations on your phone. You can click a button and listen to all these podcasts or watch these videos and all that. All these things are going on. But what happens is that the problem is we live in a situation where most Christians prefer to be coddled rather than to be challenged. If you're not being challenged, you won't grow. It's only by the pressure that's applied to you and the resistance that you push back is when your muscles grow. So when we feel these attacks from the enemy and all these things, you know, don't throw in the towel and just don't think, you know, oh, I just want to be loved on and like some mama cat licking their babies all the time, you know. Yeah, church is for that. There's some people that need touched and healed, you know, and loved on a little bit. And we all need that every now and then. Everybody needs a hug, right? Praise God. Everybody needs a hug. But I'll tell you what, we need to remember also that we need to be going from glory to glory to glory to glory and to be growing as we fight the good fight of faith and we learn how to use the shield of faith and we learn how to use the sword of the Spirit. And we're doing these things and we're going out and we're seeing God move in our life because we don't want to be that person, that spiritual malnutrition. We need to be preparing for war. And that's important because, you know, Satan just has a way of getting us to focus on the wrong thing. And that's what happens. When we're focused on the wrong thing, when we're thinking that something is the problem, but it's really not. See, we focus on the person and we sometimes, I mean, granted, I know some people can be jerks. You know what I'm saying? I'm not denying that. But for the most part, we're focusing on the person when really there's an unseen realm that's around there that we need to be praying for, against, and being able to deal with. Because Satan is the master of deception and misdirection. He's the master of deception and misdirection. And that's what he tries to do in your and my life. He tries to get us to focus on the thing, you know, like a magician. They'll get you to look over here, but really they're doing something over here, you know. And that's why, you know, we need to be aware and learn how to fight the good fight of faith because there's more for us than against us. There's a passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, and what was happening was the king of Aram and Israel, they were kind of at odds with each other. You know, they were battling each other. It was a real war, physical war. But what was going on is that the Lord would speak to Elisha and tell him where the other king was going to be, so stay away from there. So Elisha was reading his mail. You know, and that happens sometimes. You know, people, you know, sometimes when I preach, I know people say that I'm reading their mail sometimes. I'm preaching about something, and what it is the Holy Spirit talking to them about something. And he's bringing it true to their life. I'm just an innocent bystander, really. I have nothing going on in my life where I have an axe to grind with anybody, but sometimes God just speaks, and, you know, that's the way it is. But what was happening was this was going on, so the king of Aram, as you would probably imagine, got a little ticked off, okay? So he sent an army after Elisha. I mean, just one guy. Sent this whole army, and Elisha was with his servant, and they were being surrounded. Have you ever felt like you're surrounded every now and then? You know, it just kind of feels that way. Well, the servant, he was just totally freaking out, as anybody who's a young learner, you know. They just look out there and they see all these soldiers. And they just think, it's over, man. You know, we don't stand a chance. But Elisha said, hey, kind of snap out of it, you know what I mean? And he prayed that God would open his eyes to see. And God opened his eyes to see, and he was able to see all the angelic host that was surrounding them, that was protecting them from this army. And he says, don't forget there's more for us than there is against us. See, it looks like there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming against you, but you always have more people for you through God. You're never alone in this battle. Not only that, did God blinded their eyes of the army, and they was all taken prisoner. It was just a powerful thing where they saw God move, where the people of Israel saw the God move on their behalf. And we as Christians, you know, we need to trust the Lord and see that He's moving in our life, and we start to get the victory and be able to walk through this on the other side. And that's a powerful thing. Now, the next part of this passage I want to look through is a little longer, not bad. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And this is where Peter just got it right. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Now the word Bar-Jonah means he's Simon, son of Bar-Jonah. That's kind of what that means. It's kind of how they could tell people apart who probably had similar names. But we see this idea, this concept of what you and I need to get about a revelation of Christ. And like I mentioned, Peter got called out and praised, just like I had Kay come up today. Just called her out in front of everybody, just praised her. And that's what Jesus did here. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Man, you got this revelation. It came from God. That's awesome. But then later on, like I say, so you don't want to get into pride. Later on, you know, in the passage down there, Jesus told him, I got to go to the cross, guys. Peter says, no. Peter, and then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Man, I'll tell you what, talk about deflation. Wouldn't you? I mean, the coach calls you out. Whoa, good play. Then he gets all over you like crazy, you know. But see, we got to be careful that we make sure that we keep our focus on that revelation, not get off. But anyway, so this rock of revelation. See, the Church of Jesus Christ, which is all the Bible-believing, born-again people of the church, can only be built on that revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the problem is sometimes, see, the church cannot be built on a historical Jesus. Okay? Historically, Jesus was real. He did walk on this earth. He did go to the cross, and he did die. Now, sometimes the historical concept, that's as far as it goes. But the real revelation is, see, the church cannot be built on the historical Jesus, but the church needs to be built on a personal Jesus. See, it's a Jesus that we can know personally, and we can come into contact, and to really know him, and experience him. And that can only happen through revelation knowledge. Now, there's information and there's revelation. And we've gone over this. I mean, this is one of my things I do every now and then over the years of ministry. And there's a difference between the two. Because what happens if you just base it on the historical, maybe you just read the Bible like it's a book of facts. It is a fact, yes. The Bible is true. But it's more than just a book of facts. It's a book on relationship, on revelation. And there's things that the Holy Spirit can bring life. And see, that's the difference between the Bible and all other books on religion and all these other historical books, is that the Holy Spirit comes along with the printed Word of God, the Logos, and then it brings life to it in our hearts when we read it with faith. And we start to receive that revelation knowledge. You could not talk me out of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care what kind of atheist or what kind of person who is a humanist, whatever they come at me with all these silly facts they think they know, there is no way I would ever say Jesus is not real. Jesus is not alive today. I would never say that because I know him. He's a person and he's alive today. And he's a part of my life. And he's such a part of my life, I would never be talked out about it because I just know for a fact that it's real. Now, what happens sometimes is that, you know, we need to get back to the idea. You see, what I had to do when I first came to Christ, and I assume it's similar for all of you, is that I had to come to that revelation, who is in the identity. I had to identify Jesus. I had to identify him. You know, I mean, I know he was real. He was a historical fact. He did walk. He did live. He did do all the things they said he did. Even a lot of the secular books say that. But I had to identify him and understand him and see who he was, because I had to figure out if I was going to line up with his mission. Okay? Jesus has a mission. And he came on this mission, and that was to save you and I. And I either have to line up with his mission, or I need to reject his mission. There is no in-between world. Either we line up or we reject it. And if we don't line up, we can't have an in-between time, you know, where I kind of believe it. No. It's either you're in or you're out. And that's just the way it is. And God wants us to understand that. So, in reality, who Jesus is to us is the bedrock for all other revelation in the Scripture to be built upon. Okay? If you don't get this first revelation right, you can't grow in the others. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he the Son of God? Was he the Messiah? Did he raise from the dead? Is he coming back again? All these things kind of factor and tie into this, because what happens is that we have this thing going on where it's natural reasoning versus spiritual revelation, okay? A lot of times we try to figure everything out. And that happens, you know, and that's okay. I'm very inquisitive. There's certain things I just want to know how it works. And that helps me. If I understand how it works, then I can, you know, tap into it better. I mean, there's some of this I just have to ask. I just got to go by faith. Because natural reasoning is not gonna figure this out. See, when Christians live by their five physical senses, we lose. If everything that we accept in the Bible, if it's just by our five physical senses, we lose. I remember pre-born again, my BC days, went and bought a Bible, started to read it. It was confusing, you know, a little bit. Okay, a lot. But there were some patterns I could see in the Gospels, stuff like that, you know, but I was just trying to figure it out in my head. But it wasn't until Jesus really spoke into my heart that I really understood it. And I had to be born again. The Bible says, unless you're born again, you cannot perceive or understand the kingdom of God. And how important it is that we come into line with that. Because if we don't get that, here's the next mistake we make. We cannot continue to fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. And that's what happens. We're fighting spiritual battles with physical weapons. And God wants us to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. See, strongholds is spiritual things. I wasn't really going to go into this yet, but I'm just going to throw it out there real quick. A stronghold happens in our mind when we start believing a series of lies or half-truths or half-lies. You know what I mean? And we start to get this pattern of thinking, and it gets established. And then what happens, it gets intertwined with each other. And it becomes hooked into our mind. And then we can't pull it apart. We try, won't work. But see, through the spiritual things, through the Bible, and understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, tears that stronghold down. Gets that out. Because I had some wrong thinking when I came into the church. I was jacked up in some of it. I mean, I just had some stuff out there. I mean, not as out there as some people I've ran into, but I was out there. I mean, I just didn't understand some things. Never had any training. That's why I came back to this town, to try to help people. Because I went through school and not one person invited me to go to church. Not one person tried to share the gospel with me in this community. So God brought me back. And that's why we do what we do. Because that's how important it is to me. See, the church needs to have spiritual insight if we're ever going to fulfill our mission. We have to get it from the Spirit. It can't just be something, you know, we can plan things, but it has to be birthed by the Spirit of God, and then it's going to really start to function and work. So it boils down to this. It boils down to what we think. Who do you say that I am? I'm talking about Jesus here, not me. Who do you say that I am? What am I to you? And how are we going to proceed in this relationship that we now have? That's what we have to come to terms with. Who do we say that he is? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one who rose from the dead? And what does that mean to us? And then after we siphon all that out, Are we going to proceed in that relationship? And hopefully we do. Last passage as we're starting to wrap this up is Matthew 16, 19. And this is where, if we've went through this other process and started to get that bedrock of revelation and start to walk in the things that God has called us to do, then here's what happens. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here we see the authority side of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we all know what keys. Have you ever lost your keys? Kind of a mess, ain't it? You know, you lose your keys. You know, it's during the cold snap here last winter. The church van was a little low on petrol. So I had to go up and I just dropped all the kids off. And so I went back there and I was putting some gas in the van and I noticed the back door was unlocked. And in the old van, before this van, I could lock that back door manually and it didn't have any effect on the rest of the van. Well, guess what? This is an updated version. I went back there, I hit the lock button on that back door, shut it, and I was locked out of the van. You know, I couldn't believe it. Felt kind of embarrassed a little bit. So I had to call my wife, had her bring the keys over and let me in. And a lady, a pastor's wife from the other church, or one of the other churches here in town, was there. And I was just trying to twiddle my thumbs and, you know, kind of whistling there, what's going on? You know, I said, hey, I just locked myself out. You know, I didn't have the key. The key was inside. And here Jesus says, I will give you the keys. And see, keys either give us access or deny access. When you lock it, it denies. And when you unlock it, it gives. And see, that's the authority that Jesus had given us. And those who have the keys are in a position of authority, okay? And those keys, and what it's a symbol of, when you see the keys there, it's a symbol of authority and responsibility. Back when I worked construction on the jobs, you know, a lot of times the boss would promote somebody, although they got heckled for it, they would give them the keys to the job, okay? And they would unlock. We had big semi-trailers, and they would have a padlock on it, and only one person usually had the key. And we all ridiculed them. They're the key man, is what we called them. They're kind of the brown nosers, so we kind of picked on them a little bit. Because that key gave them authority over all the stuff. They could get the materials out. They can do anything with that key. And see, Jesus gave us that authority, and we need to understand that, because he has given us keys to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God represents the authority of God's kingdom. Think about that for a minute. That's the keys that he gave us. Now, what we need to understand is the devil, for whatever reason, has been allowed to operate until Jesus' second coming. You know, that's just the way it's been established. Nothing we can do about that or change it. You know, you'd think when Jesus died, rose from the dead, and, you know, went to the cross and defeated the devil, you'd think it'd have been a done deal, but it wasn't. God wants to see the church, his body, you and I, make his enemies his footstool. That's what he wants us to do. He wants the church, and he wants to use frail beings. You and I are frail. We deal with different things in our life, but God wants to empower us so that we can go forth in his name. And here the devil got in pride and just said, you know, in the Old Testament, I think it's Isaiah, the I wills or the I ams, either one of those. He said he's better than God. He's equal to God, but he's not. And so now what God is doing, he's taken us, men and women, and using us to show that fallen angel who's boss. We have the authority. We have the keys to the kingdom. And God is using us through his power to be able to accomplish those things. So what we see here is that we have that authority over Satan and the demons, and some things that we need to do, we need to loose the captives, right? We need to go out. We need to set people free. We need to see them come to the kingdom of God, come out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. See, people are bound up, just like you and I were bound up. We were bound in sin. I mean, before I was really seeking God, I mean, I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking other things, right? I was bound up. I couldn't see that there's this better life over here. There's this better life that God has for you and I. I couldn't see it. I knew a historical Jesus. I knew about him. I prayed to this historical Jesus every night. I can't remember one time as a little kid not praying to Jesus that now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Because I was scared of dying. Not scared enough to quit what I was doing, but I was scared of dying. So I prayed that historical Jesus. But it wasn't until later I come into contact with the real Jesus. And what happened is some people came and they shared the love of Christ with me. They came and they shared the good news with me. And they told me about being born again and what it means to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was enough of a hook. It got me keep coming back until I was ready to bow my knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what I did. And I was changed. My life was changed. And that's how it works when we decide to make him the Lord. So there's people bound up, and what do we do about that? The problem is they're bound in their mind, and that's the way they think or process information. That's what I was doing. I was thinking wrong. I didn't know it. I was just thinking wrong. And then God started to help me straighten that out. See, no matter how hard people who are bound up look, I mean, have you ever witnessed to somebody, a friend or family member, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, they just can't get it? Well, that's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem that we have to deal with. See, the God of this world has blinded the eyes, and that's why Jesus gave us the power, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So our job is to grow the kingdom, okay? The church has been given authority, but that doesn't mean we know how to use it, right? I've been given authority back when I first started out. Hey, you've been given authority. Woohoo! Now what do I do? Huh? Now what do I do? How do I use this stuff? You know, we bought a pistol several years ago, and there's a lot of stuff on that thing. I hadn't been used to using it. I've used shotguns and rifles in my life, but, you know, this kind of pistol was an automatic and just a lot of different things. And I tell you what, you put that in your hand and you got that power of life and death in your hand. I got a little unpeaceful until I got comfortable with how to use it. You know, I started to learn how to use this weapon. Still can't shoot very good, you know, but I can use it. Why? Because I trained. I learned how to use that weapon. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm, that you and I need to learn how to use our spiritual weapons, because the church has been given, you know, major authority in how we need to do that. And what we need to do is we need to be missional in our approach. That means we need to have a plan. What is it that we are called to do? You know, a lot of times, you know, we just kind of, you know, the church needs to get beyond just being a fellowship of friends and get on to being a band of warriors. I really believe that. I love the fellowship. I love the fact that we can give each other hugs and high fives or elbows or whatever you all are into. But I tell you what, we need to get past that, because we need that. But we also need to get on to being a warrior for Christ, because we serve a warrior king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to get to that place where we understand what our destiny is, that we need to storm the gates of hell. We need to take back everything that the devil has tried to steal from us. See, my vision at this church is not to take people from other churches. And we planted this church in this town. We did not go after other Christians. We don't believe in that. If they show up and want to stay, I welcome. But my vision is to take people from the devil. That's my overall vision, is to take people back from the devil. I was in the devil's kingdom. And people loved on me, and they told me about Jesus, and then I came into the light. And see, that's my vision for our church, is to reach the lost. A lot of church growth in our culture is Christians leaving one place and going to another. And when you get to the place that we need to get back and start to reach out to people that don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I believe that in some way we were created for conflict. We were created for this. It's in you. You're a warrior. You're a warrior for Christ. And we've been called to fight that good fight of faith. What I believe is that we need inspiration plus a little bit of perspiration, and that's going to bring the manifestation in our life. That's what we need to have. You know, we get a revelation from the Lord, we act on that revelation, and then we see the power of God manifest in our life. That's where we need to be. And that's my challenge for us today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we honor you. We thank you so much for the power of your Spirit just working in each of our lives. I just want to give an opportunity today. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you have and you feel you need to rededicate or consecrate your life again, I want to give you that opportunity. We'd like to pray with you. I know what it's like to go to church and not feel right. But I tell you what, when I made that decision to make it right, everything changed. If you're here today and you feel like you need to do that in your heart, you feel the Holy Spirit touching your heart, we want to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you just stand up where you at your seat there, and we're going to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I thank you for being my Savior. And today I make you Lord. I thank you for your blood that washes me of all my sin. I just repent of the old and I grab a hold of the new. And we pray that's in Jesus' name. Amen.